Isaiah chapter 57. Verse 16. Isaiah 57, verse 16. I want to talk about peace. We talk about peace on earth at Christmas. Let's focus on that aspect of Christmas. Isaiah 57, verse 16, for I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry, the Lord is speaking. For the spirit would grow faint before me, and the breath of those whom I have made. Because of the iniquity of his unjust gain, I was angry and struck him. I hid my face and was angry. And he went on, turning away in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will lead him and restore comfort to him and to his mourners, creating the praise of the lips. Peace, peace to him who is far and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up refuse and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. Let's pray. Those are scary words. I'm not sure people generally see them that way, but Lord, by your Spirit, they would. There is no peace, Lord, to be in a situation where we could have no peace, that it was not even possible to have. That the turmoil that we seek to escape would never end. And Lord, what an awful thing to have. But Lord, there's hope, as this verse, these verses tell us, that we might have peace with you. And we pray, Lord, that we would understand that Christmas aspect of the birth of Christ to bring peace on earth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was a teenager, it was during the hippie days. I wasn't at the 60s part of it, but in the 70s. There were still some hippies around in the 70s. I mean, we were all cool, and we had signs and symbols. One thing that I saw a lot of was the peace symbol. You know that circle with you know what I'm talking about. You put that on a Volkswagen van. That's a drug mobile right there. But you'd see that on a sign at peace. And we had this, which if it's this way, apparently is victory. But if it's this way, it's peace, or the other way. Winston Churchill did this. But you know, in the 60s, the hippies saying peace, which of course meant nothing. They would say, listen, we need to have peace. So what happened from that? Well, the powers that be just snapped right to it and brought peace, right? Never happens. Not by proclamation, not by protest, not by mutual agreement. There's no peace. The bottom line in our society is that people want peace without God. God has offered peace to the world forever. The revelation of Jesus, the revelation of God to Israel, is offering peace. It is available. But what people really want is to have it without God. Every week, as I was younger than teenagers, my mom would ask me, we didn't have a shower, have you bathed? Which sounds really sophisticated. Have you bathed? And what I was looking for in those days was a way to be clean without bathing. That was an interruption in my routine. So sometimes I would tell her, you know, I really didn't do a whole lot to sweat and get dirty today. You know how far that went with her? Zero is what happened. No, I would still have to get a bath. But boy, wouldn't it be great? We're thinking, you just don't have to take a bath. I don't know what it was about baths. You don't want to take a bath. You can still be clean. That's what people want. They don't want to come to Christ. They don't want to approach God. They don't want to have their sins forgiven. But they'd like to have peace in the world, peace in their hearts. When men left the will of God, and we see that in the Garden of Eden, they were left with two choices, and those choices were presented to them by God. They could not create them themselves. They could either go back to God or stay away. Remember Adam and Eve? They left. They ran away. They were ashamed. They knew their nakedness. When the Lord came in the midst of the garden, they took off. It used to be a wondrous thing that he would come. Then it wasn't, because they were ashamed. They had sinned. And the only way they could have peace, they were hiding in the bushes. The Bible says they hid themselves among the trees from God, thinking that would, you know, remove their shame. But it was only when they came to God and confessed their sins, and the Lord put into motion what we see coming to fruition at Christmas with the birth of Christ, or not, you know, we celebrate that, is that what he promised about redeeming mankind is fulfilled in the seed of the woman, who is Christ. And so the desire for peace is entwined in that. If you want peace, it starts there. I understand people have other religions, other ideas, other opinions, but this is the revelation of God given to us by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says in the text that I've read, there is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. You saw it there, verse 21. No peace. Well, now wait a minute now. Hasn't the Lord overreached? If you're in the middle of a metropolis, I'm not sure Columbia would be that, but it could be a good example. You could say you're right downtown, and you got to take a road out of Columbia. How many roads go out of Columbia? Quite a few, right? So just pick one. You want to go to somewhere, let's say Minnesota. Pick one. So you pick one, and you believe with all of your heart that road goes to Minnesota until you hit the Gulf of Mexico. And you see, once the wrong choice is made, unless you go back and start at the beginning and get the right road, you're never going to get to where you're going. That's what it is like to have no peace. You can believe it. You can hope it. People say, Lord, I think you're missing the boat here. To say no peace, I have peace. I'm very content. I've got some money. I got a good job. Plus, nations are sometimes at peace. So that's not right. Well, that's personal peace. Personal peace people have. There are people that work on these high buildings when they're not even got walls around them. They got steel girders up there. And they get up there and they walk on those things. And apparently, it doesn't bother them. It wouldn't bother me long, however long it takes to fall off of them. But they have peace. You just don't understand it. People can have peace in the most wretched circumstances. But I'm talking about peace with God. Well, then they say, but I'm not wicked. Who is wicked? There's always somebody that people think of as wicked that's wickeder than them, and they're not part of that crowd. But that's how sinners argue their way out of heaven. They try to justify that they're not too bad, that they're much better than other people, and yet they have no peace with God. Well, the need for peace is pretty obvious. A mother who has a bunch of kids raging around her all day kind of hopes for nap time, doesn't she? Or if kids are home all summer, I see those commercials on TV. Kids go back to school, and the parents are jumping up and down. There's peace. They get over all that, whatever was going on before. Peace is maybe understood well by noting what is the opposite of peace. Turmoil. disquiet, strife, contention, upheaval, fighting, discord, fear, uncertainty. That's the opposite of peace. And peace, when we speak of peace, we're speaking of peace with ourselves and peace with others, including God. Peace out, peace in. So to really have peace, you're covering the whole world. Nations are okay. We're okay with everybody else. Everybody else is okay with us. We're okay inside. We're at peace. And recognize that God is the core of that. My granddad got to the beach one year. He's riding with me. I think that was the Renault LeCar we had. If you ever seen that, it's a really like a roller skate, looks like. We were in that. And I'd come home from Minnesota for vacation. And he rode with me. And I didn't have air conditioning in that car. It was called Roll the Window Down. And he got there. And the first thing he said was, "I'm frazzled." Frazzled is not a good, peaceful place. To be frazzled means, you know, you've heard a wind blow through an open window for, you know, 4 hours. And now you're where you're supposed to go, but your head's still in the car. You're frazzled. Well, peace is calmness, assurance, contentment, security, repose. And at Christmas, remember that very familiar phrase, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. So when the angels announced the birth of Christ, it said peace on earth. The peace was for those who would have the favor of Jesus, which is possible now that Christ comes, have the favor of God. So there was no peace until the birth of Christ. The peace of God is only possible by what God does to secure it. So when Jesus comes, the angels say, peace on earth. That means before that, it's not possible. We often think of, the world does, of the Lord just saying, okay, listen, just come to heaven. Just come to heaven. I'm not making any more requirements. My heart is so open. Just come to heaven. That's not the way it works with the Lord. The Lord would be unholy if he did that. He would not be God. He would be unjust if he did that. He can't do that and be God. For us to go to heaven, we have to be forgiven of our sins. Our sins have to be paid for. I bet none of you got a bill. You got a bill in the mail? Do you ever get bills in the mail? Or online? Or in the email? Do you expect they're just going to call up one day and say, listen, we sent you that bill out. You don't have to pay that. We've just waved it off. We just forget it. That car you just bought, you're making payments on. We don't need that money. Just keep it. Keep the car too. Come get another one for free. When does this happen? Yet people believe that their sins can be before them, be on them, before God, and God's just going to say, forget it. It doesn't happen. It would be more likely that the car dealer would tell you what I just said than for Christ to say, you don't have to pay for your sin. It has to be atoned for if you get to heaven. And so God makes people who please himself by the blood of Christ. When Christ came, that was what was announced. It means God initiated it. God made it happen. Two people who are opposed to each other can't have peace. Peace is not possible. You think that, suppose Hollywood tomorrow, they hold a big gathering, or the next Oscars or Emmys or whatever they have, and all the Hollywood people get up there and they go, you know what, we're sorry we ever said anything bad about President Trump. We love him. We think he's doing a great job. We'd all pass out. They're two completely opposites. What about Arabs in Israel? Arabs have said, Our desire is for Israel to be totally obliterated. How do you get peace from that? And with the Lord and our unholiness, how is there peace unless the two are brought together? And God is under no obligation to make peace with us. But he initiates it, the birth of Christ. The declaration here shows that God is willing, peace on earth, that he's willing to forgive and he's willing to reconcile. Only God can do that. We started the war. God has to be satisfied. We can't set the terms. God does. And they rejoiced. Oh, there was this great glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace. See, it was rejoiced in. Because it was good news. It would bring peace to men, peace between God and men, and the glory of God to be accomplished. The Lord desires to save, and bringing Jesus to the world is that. We rejoice in things. People, when they heard about microwave ovens, everybody got one. Computers. Where is there a home that doesn't have a computer anymore? Your phone is a computer. But faith. The Lord has provided peace through faith in Christ. There it is. People are in cities are wondering how we stop this crime and this evil behavior and terrorism and all. Faith in Christ would end that. But no peace at all? Again, verse 21, there is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. Look back at Isaiah 1. Obviously, we can't fill in all the space between Isaiah 1 and Isaiah 57, but Isaiah 1, verse 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, concerning Judah and Jerusalem, which he saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth. For the Lord speaks, sons I have reared and brought up, but they have revolted against me. An ox knows its owner, and a donkey its master's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Alas, notice what they're called, sinful nation. People weighed down with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, sons who act corruptly. They have abandoned the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away from him. The very beginning of Isaiah tells you what this book is about. Israel is in rebellion against God. If you look down on verse 11, same chapter 1, they're very devout. What are your multiplied sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of your burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle, and I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls, lambs, or goats. He said, I'm tired of your devoutness. They were very devout. They came and they offered their sacrifices. They no doubt thought because of that they were favored by God. Lord, we brought sacrifices. Therefore, we know you love us. And they basically, like a person that shoots a gun and doesn't aim at the target. They were shooting. It looked like they were gunslingers of some kind. But they're shooting all over the place. Till you hit the target, you can't be called, you know, a sniper. So they're going to church. They're doing all the stuff that they think would make them right with God. But they got an incurable disease. Look back at verse 5 of chapter 1. Where will you be stricken again? As you continue in your rebellion, the whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even into the head, there's nothing sound in it. Only bruises, welts, and raw wounds, not pressed out or bandaged, nor softened with oil. That's a thing that runs through Isaiah. Look at Isaiah 53. Some people use this on, you know, Benny Hinn's channel to say that, you know, you just be healed if you want to. Verse 5 of Isaiah 53. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement, chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging or his stripes, we are healed. Healed of what? That thing it's talked about in chapter 1. That disease of sin. We can't stop it. All we can do is spew it out more. And if Jesus didn't come, that's all we would ever do. Is sit on the side of the road with our flat tire and nobody come and help us. Because we can't get the car going again. And wickedness breeds a family of ills. It's mentioned there in Isaiah 1, but it's just think everything gets worse. Have you noticed what I've noticed? You'd have to be pretty much just coming out of a coma not to have. That from year to year, things get worse in our country. Morally. Sometimes the economy ticks up a little bit. Sometimes, you know, something else happens. It's not always the same. But, you know, things get worse morally. We can't hardly believe. We can't keep up with it. Even. Well, because we're wandering from the Lord, and it brings a lot of ills with it. James says what causes wars. James chapter 4. He says it comes from sin. Why is it that people are at war, James says? Well, because they have selfish desires. What about the lack of love and forgiveness and compassion and support and warmth and kindness and long-suffering and unity? It's sin. We see that many times in the epistles. Why is crime rampant? Why is terrorism going? It's not righteousness, it's sin. It has evil children. People don't know the reason they're here. Because sin has blinded them to the fact that God created them for his glory. But how can the Lord say no peace? Because you know you're going to. I've seen cars that have a little declaration that they're at peace. Don't bother them. They're at peace. It's kind of like a I'm okay, leave me alone kind of bumper sticker. In this case, the Lord says there is no peace to the wicked. And he divides the world up into two. And that's all really, we're binary here. It's one or zero. Righteous and wicked. The righteous have been forgiven by God and given righteousness by faith in Christ. The wicked have not. The wicked still have their bill unpaid. The righteous are right with God by God paying for their sins by grace. And the Bible says the wicked are enemies of God. Romans 5, 10, Ephesians 2, 3. When we were yet enemies, when we were enemies of God, Christ died, things. We see that great enmity that we have. God is our enemy if we don't know the Lord. He's not our friend. People can't say, you know, I like the Lord. The Lord likes me. He does not like you. The Lord loves everyone in a sense, not special elective love, but the Lord loves every person by providing for them and giving them a pretty world and food to eat and all that. We don't doubt that. But the elective love, God does not love everybody that way. He doesn't have redemptive love for every person. If he did, there would be no need for the gospel or repentance or faith or for Jesus to even die. Take an escaped prisoner. How many of you here would just raise your hand? I've escaped from prison. No, I didn't think so. Escaped prisoner gets out. Oh, that's got to feel good. They get out, and they're not in the big house anymore. So they're getting out, and they're free. Ah, they run over there, and they pass. I could go into that Walmart if I wanted to. They're going down there, and there's a park. Oh, I could go out there and sit on the bench and just have a good day. And then go buy a McDonald's and say, I could go in there and have a Big Mac. But they're not really free, are they? They don't just let you go. Oh, you got out, so we're just going to leave you alone. They're going to be chased and hounded. Constantly pursued. Sometimes they get out for weeks. Some almost made it to Canada a few years back. He's just three miles from the border and got shot by a policeman, wounded. You're never able to rest until the debt is paid. Once you walk out of prison and the debt is paid, you can go wherever. The debt has been paid. So as long as God has something against you, you can't have peace. If you're separated from God and God is angry with you because you're sinful, you can't have peace. It comes back and haunts us at some point. At some point, we face the judgment. We can't have peace. Every moment on earth, we're living the last bit of our lives until we have to leave, and it's appointed a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. You can't have peace. If you have a bad neighbor, you can move. If you have a bad job, you can get another job. But you can't leave the judgment of God. Suppose you jump out of a plane, you forgot your parachute. I quit gravity. Declaration. I'm quitting gravity. What happens then? You float to the ground. You can't. So we need peace. And there's no peace at all for the wicked. Those without God's favor. Now, understand, most people without God's favor seem to think they have God's favor. How many times you turn in a test in school? I thought I did pretty well until it came back. And then you thought different. There's an urgency to get peace. And we understand the urgencies for so many reasons. We don't know how long we'll be here. We don't know how long the grace of God will strive with us. But the Bible says in verse 16 here in our text, "For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry." Second half of Isaiah is talking about a Babylonian captivity. That the Lord punished Israel, or Jerusalem, Judah, by exiling them into Babylon. And so the Lord here says, there is hope right now. Even though I've judged you and exiled you, I want you to understand this. I will not fight against you forever. And you can see how you read it there to see that, "Nor will I always be angry, for the spirit would grow faint before me and the breath of those whom I have made." He would destroy us. "Because of the iniquity of his unjust gain, I was angry and struck him," Jerusalem. "And I hid my face and was angry, and he went on turning away in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways," but notice this, "I will heal him." The Lord is saying, "I won't be angry forever. If you come to me, I'll forgive you. If you have reaped consequences by your sin, you come to me and I will heal you. If something's found on your MRI or something's found on your blood test, and the next thing you want to know is there any hope? And the answer you want to hear is yes. And the Lord says, here's there's hope. Now there's hope. The Lord will not also hold his anger in reserve forever. Because you see in the latter part of this passage, there are wicked people. But verse 19 says, there are people who praise. God creates praise on the lips of those who come to him and are healed. And notice what the praise is. Peace, peace to him who is far and to him who is near. That's like the gospel. I'll give you peace. If you're far from me, if you're near, far country, near country, far away, close by, and I will heal him. You want to be healed? Healed people have peace. The woman with the issue of blood, all that time, was it 12 years? She couldn't be healed. She couldn't be always constantly paying people, paying doctors, trying to get some kind of relief from her sickness. Jesus touched her. She had peace because she was healed. Your sins will never let you go. Your sins will never jump off your shoulders. Your sin will never pay for itself. And you can never shake it off yourself. The only peace is possible when we come to Christ. And notice, here's someone saying, I'll heal you. If you're an escaped convict, the policeman's not going to say, come on and we'll let you out of jail. Come on, give yourself up, we'll let you out of jail. They're not going to say that. But the Lord here says, if you come to me, I'll heal you. I'll give you peace. You'll be right with me. The Bible tells us sinners don't seek the Lord, but the Lord is seeking us by the gospel. We're to seek the Lord while he may be found, Isaiah 55:6 says. And the gospel goes out into all the world and calls people. Israel kept turning away, and God still gave them hope to come back. Verse 17 says they kept turning away, and the Lord will heal them. But without peace with God, there's no peace. And that comes from Christ. The raging sea is mentioned. We've probably all been to the ocean. The ocean gets stirred up. It rages. Verse 20 says the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet. Its waters toss up refuse and mud, mire and dirt. There's no peace, says my God, for the wicked. The wicked have things going on inside them, things going on in relationships, things going on in the destruction of their own life through their sin, that God says, you know, it can never be peace unless you're not wicked anymore. The righteous, those made righteous by the grace of God. Verse 18, I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will lead him and restore comfort to him and to his mourners. Comfort is peace. Not mourning anymore is peace. So I want that. The world says, well, you can't have it unless you're righteous. But you can be righteous. But if you're wicked, you can never rest. Suppose you're going to bed and you get under the covers. And with you getting under the covers, right to the left of you, right in the middle of the bed, whichever side you sleep on, to the right or left, three cockroaches get under the covers with you. Three cockroaches under the covers with you, and you wonder what they're running from, and then a little mouse runs up under there with you. Now, what kind of rest are you going to have? You're going to say, well, I'm just stay over there, I'm just going to, and you nod right off. You got to, honestly, get rid of the vermin first. The bugs have to go. The mouse has to go. You don't want anything like you're laying in bed and you look down to the bottom and there's some clump coming up towards you under the covers. You can't have that and have relaxation and peace. The Bible says, you know, regardless of how happy you are with yourself or how happy others are with you, your life is chaos. It just can never have peace without the Lord. And there's all sorts of calamity that comes, some later, some sooner. But the point here is not to tell you how bad off you are only, but to tell you that you can have peace. That's what Jesus came to give, peace on earth. Now the outflow of peace is peace with God. Romans 5:1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Having been justified by faith. Justified by faith, God is at peace. He's not angry with you anymore. He's forgiven you of your sin. You're not under judgment or condemnation. We have peace with others. Colossians 3:12 talks about forgiving one another and forbearance and patience with each other. That's also an offshoot of it. If we have peace with God, we have peace with each other. We forgive and all that. Peace within, forgiveness, security, quietness, purpose, meaning, all that comes from peace. But without being righteous, without being forgiven, without repenting, and God saying, you've repented, not just you, there's no peace. What have hippies ever done for you? Did hippies ever bring peace? Not that I know of. Give peace a chance, John Lennon said. Yoko Ono, they had to sleep in one place, and they said, give peace a chance. Well, there we go. They laid down their arms all over the world. The government going to bring you peace? Protesters? No. The only way you have peace with God is through Jesus Christ. Understand what I'm saying to you. Not that you have a lesser quality life without peace with God. Not that you'll have a pretty good life, just not be a churchgoer, religious person. No peace. No peace unless you're righteous by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. as is always the case, you know what's good for us, and you tell us what's good for us, and what's good for us is peace with you. And Lord, the marvels of your grace that we could be offered peace. Lord, also the marvels of sin that it would be rejected. That you could say, I will heal you of your backslidings. I will heal you of your sinfulness. I will heal you of all the debt of sin that you owe me, and people won't come. Lord, I pray that we would see people at peace with God, and they would come. They would call upon you and be forgiven. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That you would roll the sins from us and make us to rejoice. For Lord, that is what the announcement was, peace on earth, only through Christ. In his name we pray.